Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. Thanks to Brett Winterbull for subbing for me on Wednesday. Jim, the good martini today is a column from Michael Goodwin over at the New York Times, and we're not looking at it as definite truth here, but he's basically suggesting that even the media has lost its faith in President Obama. They've been writing multiple critical stories about his trip overseas. He talks about how basically the media, Democrats, gave Obama carte blanche on a whole range of issues, and none of them seem to be working out very well, to be charitable. The question is whether this is actually the point where the media is really turning on him, maybe becoming more of Hillary cheerleaders rather than Obama defenders. Either way, it's hard to think that they're going to all of a sudden really kick him to the curb. But the fact that they're at least turning a critical eye on him now is good in some ways.
That's New York Post, not New York Times, Michael Goodwin writes for. If a New York Times columnist had said, "We're turning on Obama," that would have been a much bigger deal, I think. But there's another good example of this. CNN recently had a discussion in which Obama was asked about the situation in Ukraine and how there doesn't seem to be any impediment to what Russia wants to do over there. The aggression and provocation over there just continues. And Obama said, well, you know, the criticism mostly comes from people who want to use military force. And the short answer is no. And we actually saw Jake Tapper and a few folks saying, well, actually, no. There's nobody who's saying U.S. should send troops to Ukraine and fight to liberate Crimea and stuff like that. There are a lot of folks who are saying, well, right now we're kind of taking a back seat to the Europeans. The Europeans are very reluctant to go any further than Ukraine than they have to. Our efforts to build a strong diplomatic coalition against Russia aren't really packing much punch. The sanctions we're putting in, we keep doing, you know, one little bit drip at a time, and it doesn't seem to be doing much of a deterrent effect to Putin and his allies. You're not a crazed warmonger to point out that the current approach isn't really working, and that right now, bit by bit, bite by bite, the powers in Moscow are taking greater control over Ukraine. That's not a good goal for U.S. foreign policy. Even if you don't really think that there's an enormous U.S. interest in who's controlling Ukraine, we sure as heck have an interest in how Russia treats its neighbors and how it treats the rest of the world. And a, you know, aggressive nuclear power with territorial ambitions is a real formula for trouble. And Obama's falling back on the, well, you know, crazed warmongers are the only people who disagree with me. And the media is calling him out on that. The results of this administration aren't that great. And so it's not, you know, something that's always kind of carried him along. Bit by bit, that's waning. I mean, that's one of the reasons you're seeing so much discussion about who's running for Republicans in 2016 and the hype around Hillary. Psychologically, the country is past Obama. He's just running out the clock. While he certainly will still be trying to keep changing the laws, I think it's safe to say that it's harder and harder for them to deny that this is the guy we always said he was.
All right, on to John Kerry and the bad martini now, Jim. And it was just a couple of weeks ago we talked about Kerry sitting before Senator McCain and basically being told that everything we're trying to do right now on the foreign policy stage has been a failure. One of the things that McCain said that was petering out is the Middle East peace process once again, and now the administration pretty much admits that that's the case. Townhall.com quoting Josh Rogan of the Daily Beast here about how Kerry is now characterizing the situation in the Middle East. Quote, the Secretary of State said that if Israel doesn't make peace soon, it could become, quote, an apartheid state, unquote, like the old South Africa. Jewish leaders are fuming over the comparison. If there's no two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict soon, Israel risks becoming an apartheid state, Secretary of State John Kerry told a room of influential world leaders in a closed-door meeting on Friday. So, Jim, I'm not sure that's going to do much to convince an already skeptical Israeli leadership that this administration has their best interests at heart, that they need to get back to the bargaining table anytime soon.
The one thing you can make, you know, small defense you can make of Kerry is that unlike the rest of the administration, he does call out the likes of Putin and Assad and call them barbarians. So in other words, like, this is not like he's uniquely hostile to Israel. Having said that, if you want to compare, you know, Israel building settlements in territories that they think they're completely entitled to say, chemical weapons use, or grabbing Crimea or something like that, I mean, it's striking to see how much this administration, in particular Kerry, just determined that they seem we can just somehow browbeat the hell out of Israel and somehow they'll make concessions and everything will be hunky-dory, when most of us who look at the outside are saying, look, you know, a big part of the problem here is that the Palestinians simply don't recognize Israel's right to exist. Strangely enough, the Israelis are in no particular mood to make concessions to people who are determined to kill them. And until you concede on the I'm going to kill you part, really all the other territorial stuff is kind of beside the point. And so Kerry just keeps beating this drum and emphasizing this. And if you look around the world, it's very, very strange to think that there are people who say, well, the U.S. really has a lot of capital to throw around out here. You can talk about it financially, you can talk about it in terms of foreign influence and all that stuff. Why are we alienating the Israelis? Do we have too many allies right now? Do we have too many people who have always stood with us through thick and thin right now, and we can afford to spare some of them? I myself am, you know, pretty doubtful of that. So it just seems like this, you know, besides bad policy and being completely naive about the Palestinians, it just seems completely counterproductive to us. Like, we're trying to alienate one of the closest friends we've had in the modern history.
Yeah, not smart at all, especially given the volatility of that region. You can use every single friend you can get, and you certainly want to hang on to your best friend in the region. All right, on to the crazy martini now, Jim. And if you can remember all the way back to, I don't know, 2 months ago, the Republican position generally in the midterm elections was try to keep everybody focused on Obamacare, the fact that it's a complete disaster, and how we're going to repeal and replace with market-based reforms. At the very same time, they came back from their retreat. They were originally going to roll out a House version of immigration reform. And after running that past their members at the retreat, they said, look, we just don't trust President Obama to enforce laws. We see how he's changing different parts of Obamacare and other statutes on his own whim. We just don't trust him to enforce border security and other measures as it relates to immigration reform. So until we regain that trust, nothing's going to happen. Well, Kathy McMorris Rodgers is the House Conference Chairwoman. I believe that makes her number four in the House Republican leadership. She has told local reporters that the reality is that we're not going to repeal Obamacare now that there are millions of people who rely on their health care through the federal exchange and so forth. What we're really going to do is look at reforming through the exchanges. She goes on to say a lot of things about why she thinks Obamacare is terrible. And then on immigration, she says she really thinks that something can get done and onto the floor by August. She says she wants to make sure there is strong border security. And her quote that's going to make border security advocates go crazy is, we're going to have to push that this is a legal status, not amnesty. So, Jim, I'm sure the base is super fired up on those two fronts.
This is really deeply frustrating to the point of galling, because if you wanted to say, look, we know that any, you know, Obamacare repeal bill we send over to the Senate is just going to die at Harry Reid's desk, we don't see much point to that. I suppose I can see the logic in that. Although here, I do think there's a certain value to saying, look, the more the public turns against Obamacare, say, look, we are the anti-Obamacare party, period, and put every House Democrat on the record with that. And then, you know, do everything possible to, you know, to get questions in front of, you know, red state Senate Democrats saying, would you support a repeal bill? Most of them are saying no. But in other words, get, and then say, well, I want to change it, I want to reform it, blah, blah, blah. You know, let them offer their milquetoast opposition, and we give the serious, solid opposition and our own reform, you know, plans and things to replace it. I think that's a much better approach than just saying, we're not going to deal with this. On the amnesty point, you and I have talked about this a bunch of times. I just, why would you pursue this if antagonize is such a big part of your own base? I guess the only thing you can say, well, it antagonized a big chunk of our base, but it'll win us some big chunk of the middle, and I just don't think that's been proven. Yes, it polls well. I don't think that, you know, a lack of an immigration reform bill is the only issue that has, you know, driven down the numbers of Congress. I think it's a whole bunch of issues, including spending and taxation and a general sense of incompetence in government and corruption and just general, I don't like Washington attitudes to begin with. So it seems like this, they're chasing this dream. And the only thing that really makes sense is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the big corporate types who like the idea of amnesty because they like the idea of a greatly expanded labor supply to help keep wages down, et cetera, et cetera. It's frustrating. McMorris Rodgers seemed to have more good sense than this to put these two things together and say, well, we're not voting on Obamacare. But how'd you like an amnesty that's totally not amnesty, we swear? You know, she's going to get a lot of flack for this, and I think she deserves it. And I just kind of wonder what's going on over there in House leadership that they can't grasp what a politically unwise move this is and why they're antagonizing their base on these two key issues.
Well, on that crazy note, we'll end for the day. Jim, we'll be back at it tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good to be back with you today. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.